everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy John on the other side of the glass. And John, I don't know about you, but I'm always ready to see January in the rearview mirror. Not one of my favorite months, but I'll certainly take this month, February, welcoming it in with open arms on Tuesday, the first day of February 2022. We are in our 12th year already here with the radio project, and we broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and we are at 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com, and the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. We will utilize our live line now and speak with Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington governmental affairs. Terry, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected D.C. public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes over the years, working on Tucson business from the nation's capital. Terry, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Absolutely great. How are you doing?
Pretty darn good. How's your favorite basketball team?
Oh, man, I am in love with this Wildcat team. And Tommy Lloyd, this coach, he just projects the right kind of image you want in a coach. And he's brought down the Gonzaga, you know, the way they play, and our team has picked it up beautifully. I don't understand where we got all these terrific players, because we've had problems in the last couple of years, but my gosh, what a vast supply of wonderful players we have! I'm looking forward to watching the UCLA game and then the USC game.
We had President Robbins with me on the program yesterday, and it's not just the women's and the men's basketball, but football's looking promising. The recruiting class. How about this for a team that's only won one game in the past two seasons? The recruiting class is the best in the West. Pretty good.
In the entire West?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm for that.
Hey, Terry, delightful editorial piece in The Star last week about the pluses and minuses of growing old. Give us a sense of what that was all about. What were you trying to say?
Well, thank you for saying that, Bill. And I have to give thanks to Kurt Prendergast at The Star for actually publishing it. It was about what millions of old athletes go through in the aging process. We all resist the idea of growing old. In my case, even at 79. Not even broken bones, joint replacements, constant back trouble can slow you down. All you do is you go to the orthopedist and you go to the rehab gyms and do it over and over again. Bill, I had a buddy in college, my best friend, who all of a sudden got fat. He just did.
It can happen.
He worked out of town one summer. He came back and we all were kidding him about being so fast. He said, "Hey, guys, I don't like it either. I was asleep and somebody came up and poured fat all over me."
Yeah, it can happen.
His joke, to me, his joke is not too much, not too far away from what one day you wake up and you feel the usual arthritic pain and you glance at the wrinkles in the body and the mirror, and suddenly that day, for some reason, it clicks, you're old. So that's kind of what the article was about.
Well, you got two gentlemen right here, myself and Shelley, shaking our heads in the... Oh, three, John. John is joining in a very affirmative head nod there with Terry's remarks. Well, what about those unappreciated compliments and sudden respect, Terry Bracey?
Well, that's a plus and a minus. As you know, you guys aren't old like I am.
Not I can't. Yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet. Okay. But it's funny. It's kind of like in the locker room, you can't get the guys to call you by name. It's always sir. Don't call me sir. Call me Terry. No, sir. They can't get it out of their mouth. And then Nancy and I had an experience the other night, a couple of weeks ago. We were at the movie theater, and behind us in line, we were holding hands, I guess, and behind us in line was another couple just close enough that we could hear what they were saying. And he, the guy was saying to his wife, "Oh, aren't they cute?" And we, Nancy and I looked at each other, and we didn't know whether to be polite and say thank you or give them the old captain salute with one finger, you know? But you run into these things all the time now. You know, there are 1,000 cuts as you get old, and people are trying to be nice, and they say things that are polite and well-meaning, but sometimes they don't do the job.
Yeah, sure beats the alternative, doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah, you also wrote in that column about privileges of age, the perspective that it offers on life and relationships, and in your field, in politics.
Well, it's been a long road for me, and when I first went to Congress, working for Mo Udall, it was just a different world. At that time, the Democrats were in control, and we had compromise on many, many bills. And just think of the fact, Bill, if we were trying to pass the Central Arizona Project right now, a crucial project, our water supply, you have to ask yourself, would this really happen? And, you know, I really wonder if it would. You know, in those days, Mo Udall took the Democrats and John Rhodes took the Republicans, and they worked together every day leading up to the vote, and they lined up their votes and worked together like two brothers. Well, today, you know, I'm not sure how the delegation works. There are a lot of people who don't talk to each other. There are a lot of people who don't know each other. You know, I used to play golf with Mo and John Rhodes together on weekends. Well, now everybody comes back for the weekend to their home place. They don't stay in Washington. They just don't get to know anybody.
That's true.
And so this has had a huge effect on the Congress. But, you know, there are a lot of other things.
I can't imagine anything. You were talking about the Central Arizona Project or anything that would require a grand compromise. I just can't see that happening today.
Well, I think you're right. I'm saddened to say so. And I note that the president, usually from his allies, is always being advised to compromise with the Republican right wing. Bill, you can't compromise with crazy. Listen to this. Before Biden took office, the group you're talking about, the right wing of the Republican Party, was pushing this nutty QAnon theory that said that there is an evil conspiracy in the government of, quote, cannibalistic pedophiles who are after our children. I suppose to have them for lunch. I mean, this is the stuff of mental hospitals, not Capitol Hill.
How about the two parties? What's your opinion? Honest opinion.
Well, honestly, I think that I believe my party, the Democrats, frankly abandoned their core group, their working class, with NAFTA and with the deregulation of Wall Street, which allowed all sorts of abuses to come to the fore, a lot of them with these equity firms that buy up newspapers and buy all these things and then fundamentally, you know, shut them down and make a profit. I believe the Republicans, on the other hand, are frankly planning a coup at the moment and are willing at this point with this group to do almost anything to retain power. Power, power, power. That's all they're interested in.
Terry, quickly, before we run out of time, anything that we can do right now to work ourselves out of this mess?
Well, Bill, I hope so, but we're going to be tested by a rough period in our politics. We must really shore up the rules on how Congress operates. It's not just the filibuster that has to go and into the dustpan of history. The whole design needs to be changed so that all the power on various issues is not in the hands of two or three people. And new laws have to be passed to really protect the vote, which is the whole key to our society. And a new generation of leaders, most of all, need to step up and take control of the country.
Terry, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, and enjoy yourself.
Have a great one.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Terry Bracey with us. Always interesting to hear Terry's opinion. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30, and people are there ready to go. They're waiting in line. When Mona's opens, they want their pastries, and I don't blame them. Great comfort food. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And their website is monasdanishbakery.com. And if you want to take a look at some pictures that will make your mouth water, all of the menu items in full color right there at monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio. And Shelley gives, somewhat of a rather tentative thumbs up. But we'll find out what's going on the markets after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week so far?
So far, it's just been fine. You know, the markets are kind of behaving themselves, and the economic news is generally positive. So I do not have clients calling me and saying, hey, we're in trouble.
And you're telling them, if possible, please stay the course.
Stay the course. You know, if you've been taking the advice of your advisors, then you're in good shape. Don't worry about anything.
Well, another reason why I'm happy, though, to see January go. It was not a very good month for overall for the markets.
No, the markets were down between 4 and 6% in the month of January. Of course, they had a very good 2021. And if you take a look at any measures, we never did close in a way that got us to a technical a technical correction. So we're not technically coming out of a correction.
Did any of the markets hit correction territory?
The NASDAQ
touched it.
It actually is down 12 or 13% from its all-time highs.
Okay.
But it did that over a period of months. Mm-hmm. So we had a bad January, and mm-hmm. now we're seemingly coming out of that. As the people who do the investing for large investors are taking a look at the things that Jay Powell is saying at the Fed and saying, well, he's not going to do anything extreme. In fact, I thought they might even raise interest rates last week. It doesn't look like they're going to do that till March. And, we'll see maybe a quarter of a point change. We're at zero now. So long as people are steady, then people don't panic, and the uncertainties around what's happening with COVID and what's happening certainly in Ukraine that are upsetting the world right now are manageable. Listening to Terry Bracey earlier and his what sounded to me like general pessimism over how the government is moving through these crises strikes me as alarming. I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I have some optimism that we will work through these crises one at a time rather than, bundle them in our arms and hug them. I think one at a time will mitigate some of these things. I do expect the markets to continue to be very volatile.
The one at a time, taking inflation, i.e. the supply chain issue, the Fed and the Ukraine. Those are the biggies right now.
Well, yeah, but there's also the things that we're not working on that are longer term or midterm stuff that if we don't get fixed, will in fact be the basic stuff that wrecks us. You know, climate change being one of them, healthcare costs being another. Inflation, even though it's not as temporary as I had hoped it would be, it's mitigating. It's easing off a little bit. Supply chain issues, you know, over the next year will certainly soften, and companies will learn how to deal with the slowness and the lack of supply where they can. We're already seeing a reduction in car prices. Even the rate of increase in home prices has slacked off a little bit. So what we're seeing is the things that are bothering people in their pocketbooks on a day-to-day basis are backing off. Even the price of gas is down a little bit. So what we're seeing is what we expected to see. Nevertheless, if you're feeling it at, you know, at the gas pump and feeling it at the grocery store every week, then you know, it's got you worried. Interestingly, I heard a statistic, Bill, this morning. I can't swear by this statistic because, quite frankly, it wasn't given with any attribution. But the statistic was that the bottom 50% of wage earners over the past year, adjusted for inflation, have had an 8% increase in their income. Now, that's on average in that bottom 50%. So if you're at the lower end of that you know, average, then you're not feeling it. But on average, and you know, in economics, we do things on average, are adjusted for inflation 8% better off than they were a year ago. Now, that, you know, it includes the $1,400 checks and the stimulus and stuff like that. But that tells me that the economy is doing about what we would expect it to be doing with that kind of improvement. After all, we had a GDP growth in 2021 of, you know, darn near 6%. It was 5.7, 5.8. But in the last couple of months of 2021, it was way above that. We have unemployment now below 4%. Now, you know, you could say, well, the way they measure it, it doesn't tell the true story, because if people stop looking for a job, they take, you know, they're taken out of those statistics.
But realistically, they look and they see there are job openings everywhere you turn.
If you want a job today,
yes,
you know, you've got to work hard not to be able to find one. So when we take a look and put all of these things together as investors, what we're seeing is that the market is doing about what you would expect a rational market to do, given the very, very high, you know, post-recession, post-pandemic slopes that we're seeing in this recovery, plus the fact that the pandemic isn't quite past us yet. We're seeing a market that's got volatility built in, but at the same time, the market is forward-looking, not backward-looking. Statistics are always backward-looking, but the markets look forward, and they're basically saying, you know, we see some green pastures ahead.
So the recovery is likely to continue, is what I'm hearing you say.
Absent something we don't know about, then the recovery is likely to continue. I think we're not going to have another 6% GDP growth here, but we could have 4%.
That's very robust. We haven't seen that since
the 1990s.
Yeah.
And unemployment, we're not going to see that much below 4%. But if it stays at, you know, 3.7, 3.8, and we get the participation rate creeping up back to, you know, a more normal rate than the one, it's a little couple of points lower now than we'd like to see it, then, you know, what we're going to see is an economy that is comfortable for most people. Now, and, you know, I'm going to get on, you know, this horse again. You know, if we could see something like a national service plan or something that gets those people who need to be trained back to work, if we see the infrastructure plan working in that direction so that people are you know, having good paying jobs, whether they're union or not, I don't much care, but if they're really good jobs, if we can correct some of the things that Terry was, you know, kind of whining about a little bit. We lost some participation with NAFTA and, you know, NAFTA 2.0 that got passed during the Trump years. And if we take a look at especially Silicon Valley and the antitrust needs that are presenting themselves as we work through this whole new economy based on information infrastructure, if we get that under control, then I think, you know, we'll see a continued improvement in the life of people in this economy. If we don't deal with those things, and we just have to pay for the disasters that happen each time, increasing year over year, that's a different story, Bill. And so very long term, I really need to see, to have my optimism really optimistic, I need to see us look at healthcare costs, climate change, and also the endemic racism that continues to persist in the society. Those things need to be fixed.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. And another problem will be, how do we find the people to hire to do all the infrastructure? I'm telling you, the help wanted sign is out, and we're going to need a lot of people to fix those bridges and to build those roads. Thank you, Shelley.
Have a great week, Bill.
You too.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research.
Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm just so delighted the sponsors we have on this program. They've just been so wonderful in our 11-year history of this radio show. Some of them have been with us since day one, like Green Things. Green Things over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. This is a perfect time of year to go buy Green Things. Yes, we're going to have probably maybe even a hard freeze tomorrow night, but really after that could be clear sailing. But even when you get your products and your plants at Green Things, they'll know. They're so knowledgeable, the staff, about what would be drought, drought tolerant, or certainly could handle some chilly weather. They can answer all of your questions over their beautiful 13-acre site by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and of course their sister business, Zocalo Village, where you have that beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, and it's at ZocaloVillage.com. Joining me in studio, one of our favorite guests on the program, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor and Director of Outreach in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. He has a terrific range of research interests. I kind of call him the Buckmaster Show Renaissance Man. His research interests cover the history of medieval and early modern German and European literature and culture from about 800 to 1800, but he is also involved in contemporary literature. He writes poetry and prose. He has published hundreds of scholarly articles and book citations, translations, and textbooks, including a handbook of medieval studies. He's won so many awards and honors, including he's the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions. That's in recognition of outstanding services to German studies. He's also the newest member of the 5-member Arizona Humanities Board of Directors. We're here to talk about Dr. Clausen's latest book. It's titled Wisdom from the European Middle Ages. This book follows his previous book, which was titled Incarceration and Slavery in the Middle Ages and the Early Modern Age, a cultural historical investigation of the dark side in the pre-modern world. Dr. Clausen, good to see you.
Bill, thank you so much. It's a great honor to be here.
I know you're just really pleased with the book, and I'm looking at it. I have it with me in my hands for the first time seeing it. You put so much work into this nearly 400-page book, and I asked you before you went on, this must have taken you 5, 6, 10 years to put together. Your answer to me was, a year and a half?
Yeah, at most.
At most. And this, did it grow out of, we all had a little extra downtime during the COVID period, and did it grow out of that?
Yes, to some extent, but it's an ongoing process trying to help us today to understand ourselves through an historical cultural lens. So the previous book was about slavery, but also freedom. But I also address a lot of topics such as love, marriage, sexuality, fear, death, God, and so forth. So I try to be a Renaissance medievalist, as you sort of said correctly, I think. And so I think for us all, the crown of it all is really wisdom. So it was really a deep desire for myself to bring out some of the very best ideas and insights from that age, from across Europe, so that they could help us to understand our own issues. So the pandemic is actually a wonderful time to reflect on the essence of human existence. Downfalls, glory, hope, frustration. But what can we do with our own lives?
Talk a little bit about some wisdom that might surprise people, wisdom from the European Middle Ages.
There are tons of different things. I mean, kind of talking about the fruit of thousands of years, 1,000 years of learning and understanding. And so there are lots of little pearls I could talk about. One major issue which I discovered all over Europe was three things, friendship. Our personal relationship with other people, which is based on trust, for example, based on mutual respect, all things that we do no longer seem to pursue nowadays.
Are you saying friendship flourished in the Middle Ages?
Very deeply, and friendship in a homosocial situation, namely really friendship amongst men or women across class maybe, across even religious barriers. And this was one of the highest values, connected also with ethics.
Mm.
People become friends because they recognize each other's ethical values. The highest values are honesty, trust, reliability, and truth. If you have these values, then suddenly all of our society will improve. And I dare say we are lacking a lot of these things today.
Give us an example of some of the things that that you found that can back that up in the book.
Yeah. So let's take one simple example, which I enjoyed a lot. This is a group of merchants. That's a story. And they are being attacked by a small group of robbers. And these robbers simply say, oh, two or three of you have done something evil. There's no evidence, nothing. And everyone suddenly gets afraid. They become isolated, atomized, and they say, I didn't do it. Let them do whatever they want. So they grab these two or three merchants, take them away.
Uh-huh.
And that goes on and on. They come back and say over and over again, somebody did something bad. And no one wants to fight for the entire group. At the beginning, one of the wise ones had said, let's stick together and fight this out, and then we'll be strong. We are 30 men versus two.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
And so at the end, they're all taken over, robbed, beaten, plundered, because they did not fight for each other.
Mm.
It's a very wise observation. We only can survive if we work together.
Mm.
Who's working together nowadays? We're all fighting against each other in terms of pandemics and virus and vaccine. People are fighting against each other. We are so atomized today.
And there's no compromise in Washington. That's
absolutely
gone.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
So,
what's happened to us? Why have we lost our way, Dr. Clausen?
Oh, that's a very political statement, maybe. Very difficult to say. But I would argue maybe selfishness. Maybe this me society, the world where everyone thinks just about him, herself.
Social media hasn't helped that, has it?
Rather the opposite,
okay.
I notice.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to hear
so,
that.
So one of the other major issues is communication, true communication. How do we communicate? A major writer whom I do not have in this book, it was Piers Plowman, William Langland, who wrote Piers Plowman about 1370, where he argued that community can only survive if when we talk to each other, we can trust each other's words, that we are honest to each other, and that we respect each other. And many of these things no longer exist.
So did I hear you say that actually social media has helped in the communication area and connecting people?
I like to joke, and forgive me for my joke a little bit, but
okay.
We have more and more smartphones and less smarts.
Yes.
I mean, because we always rely on the computer. The computer takes over everything. Everything we need to know, we suddenly draw from the computer. We don't know it anymore. And the truest knowledge is really not in the computer system, but in our hearts.
When we think of medieval literature, many of us think of gloom and doom, just the opposite.
Well,
is that true?
It's more complex than that.
Okay.
If I were now living in the year 2500 and I would look back to our own world, and I could do both. I could simply cast our world as gloom and doom, barbaric.
Certainly
primitive.
Over the past 2 years, you could make a case for gloom and doom.
Think about the 20th century, filled with Holocaust, genocides, wars, world wars, horrible time. So if I want to focus on the negatives, I get the negatives. If I want to focus on the development of science, science, technology, and medicine, but also philosophy, the arts, literature. Glorious world. So it's the angle we pursue. So we can always look at the Middle Age as a dark age, or we can opt and decide, I'm looking at what is really valuable. What can I profit from that world?
But we don't normally think of happiness, love, and hope as part of the medieval landscape.
Whereas this was very much in many circles, it existed in religious circles, philosophical circles, in highly educated circles. And that's the same thing today. You have many people today who are angry, aggressive, they protest and they want to overthrow our government, they disregard laws and order. And then there are others who say, no, we have to work together, help each other, and then we will be able to handle all the challenges that are coming. And we have huge challenges, just as in the past. They also faced a pandemic, and they also collapsed to some extent, because that's the human nature. In time of fear, they panic and run into hysteria and become very hostile and looking for scapegoats.
When we come back with Dr. Claassen, the medieval quest as a model for today, can we learn from the Middle Ages? We'll talk with Dr. Claassen about that as we continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They're ready to welcome you with open arms. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. I strongly recommend, if you're looking for a nice getaway, and really the temperatures in the 50s and 60s, For me, that's perfect hiking weather. I like to get outdoors when the temperatures are like that. And this is what it would, this time of year, it's perfect over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico. Just spell it out, .org for where to stay and what to do. We continue now with our discussion with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor, Director of Outreach in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. We're talking about his latest book. The name of the book is Wisdom from the European Middle Ages. I want to ask you, Dr. Clausen, can the medieval quest be used as a model for us today? Explain how it could be.
Oh, that is a beautiful question. The quest. After all, what is our life, your life and my life? What is it really? Why do we live and how can we gain meaning? And I think the whole notion of a quest is a beautiful one because we need to do something very important. And that was a central aspect in medieval courtly romances and heroic epics. Just like your quest is to become sort of the, or to be the spokesperson for our community, that is your quest, and you hopefully, and I think you do fulfill this beautifully.
Thank you.
It is an extremely important function. Just the same way as my quest is to work with the Middle Ages and to bring the wisdom from that time to our young generation and to illuminate them really and help them gain direction, to put them on their own quest. And so the metaphor from the Middle Ages works really well for us to search for more wisdom.
You talked in our first segment about one of the wisdom things, things of wisdom, areas of wisdom. You talked about friendship. Give our listeners a couple more wisdom categories that you would put in that.
I will surprise you. One of the points often raised is a warning against tyranny. Warning against dictatorial kings and abusive rich people who subjugate the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the community will suffer when the people on the bottom are abused. Mm-hmm. That sounds so modern and democratic. It comes from a royal person at the end of the 12th century.
Was that model used by fascist Germany?
To some extent, whether they understood that, I think what they did mostly, let's say the Nazis, if you think about Stalingrad, and if you think about the Sixth Army besieged in Stalingrad, about to be defeated and maybe decimated, and Goebbels was speaking over the radio to them, and they said, he said, be as loyal as the Burgundians and be ready to die for your state. And then, of course, there was a reference to a medieval heroic epic, which ends in Armageddon, the Nibelungenlied. And, of course, then the army was completely defeated and millions of men died. So they drew, the Nazis drew from that medieval ideology for their own purposes, namely the sacrifice for the state.
So the word was, you're not retreating, although they tried, but basically stand your ground and die.
And die. And actually, some of the recent psychological interpretation of the Holocaust, really say Hitler thought that since the government could kill millions of their own soldiers for the betterment of the system, so why not kill millions of Jews for the improvement of the German blood? So very quasi-mythological medieval notions, total abuse and complete misreading for ideological purposes.
So and if you were a professor in the 1930s and brought that and called that out, you would wind up in a concentration camp.
Guaranteed. Absolutely.
A quick question from a listener, Dr. Clausen. Why are the Middle Ages referred to as the Dark Ages?
Yes, very easy, because every generation tries to look forward and to dismiss the previous period. So when the Renaissance people like Petrarch and Boccaccio and Poggio and others emerged, they wanted to shine in their new light. What they did was to draw from classical Rome. And so they wanted to distinguish themselves from the previous centuries. And so they called it simply barbaric. And they called it Gothic. because they said, oh, these were the Gothic people, the Vandals and
right,
so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
Very primitive. We
the
don't want
this. The people who sacked Rome
exactly,
and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Today, of course, we have a completely different view, and we appreciate the Middle Ages very much as a powerful and very meaningful period.
Just finished the Eric Larson book. It's a bestseller, In the Garden of Beasts, talking about Nazi Germany after Hitler came to power in the early 1930s up until when von Hindenburg died. That very difficult period, I'll tell you, it just makes your blood curl. And you, I asked you, you could not have talked as a professor openly about what you're even saying here on the radio now. What happened to the university system in Germany? They had this such a rich tradition of higher education in Germany. What was it like to be a university professor then?
Well, basically, they purged most of their ranks of all the intelligent people. replaced them with more people who were obedient and obliging to the ideology. And criticism was rejected. And I see strong parallels. The public dislikes increasingly that we educate our young generations to be critical and reflective. Mm-hmm. They don't want that. They don't want, obviously, it seems like that our students think critically. And that is a very difficult thing.
You're talking about some of the measures that have been suggested by the Arizona legislature in the 2022 session.
About, for example, critical race theory. Mm-hmm. There are more and more state legislators in Arizona and other places that say schools should not teach critical race theory. We should be blind to all the bloodshed and racism and injustice committed in the past. Whereas we know that once we bring that out, then we empower the young generation to think critically about their own past and work toward the future.
So the university system in that period of Nazi Germany, what were the students being taught in the universities?
Well, we do have, for example, certain literary history books written during those years, clearly, explicitly, by Nazi German professors who idealized the Middle Ages and used the heroic epics to glorify whom? Hitler.
Mm.
So the Middle Ages were very badly abused for their current ideological impetus.
Dr. Claassen, where can people find your book? Is it going to be available on the Amazon?
Absolutely. It's easy to find online. You can find it everywhere. And I would be delighted if people were just taking a look, because it is a compilation of a lot of pearls of wisdom that I collected from the dung heap of history.
Dung heap of history. And your publisher is Peter Lang. Is that a European publisher?
Yeah, it's international. They're both in New York as well as in Berlin. So it's very easy to find. And you will be interested, I mean, the image that you see there
on the cover, yes.
Yeah, the cover is by Herod of Landsberg, reflecting the seven liberal arts, which connects directly with what we do today with general education. And what I find so intriguing in the basic studies students were supposed to learn in medieval universities, rhetoric.
Yes.
Grammar.
Yes.
And logic.
Mm.
Who does that? We just throw our people, you know, into just study anything.
Throw it against the wall. See if it sticks.
Think first whether you can know grammar. Can you speak well? Can you think well? This is what I find so amazing about the medieval system.
Dr. Albrecht Claassen, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bill.
On behalf of Dr. Claassen and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you very well this afternoon. Be safe.